Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good morning.
How are you doing today?
Hope all is well in your world. And how about a story of inspiration to begin with? You know, one of the things that makes America such a wonderful nation is the potential for mobility. And when I talk about mobility, I'm talking about the fact that where you are right now is not where you necessarily will stay. You know, this can be a blessing and a curse. Remember a few weeks ago, we played that audio clip from Steve Harvey, where he was talking about how he's lost everything twice. I mean, you can go up, you can go down. This is what this country is all about, which makes it so wonderful. You aren't in a situation where you have a caste, where you have to stay. There are opportunities everywhere. Case in point, one Frank Baez. He was a teenager when he started working as a janitor at New York University's Tisch Hospital. What was his job? Cleaning patient rooms, bathrooms, and hallways. Sounds really glamorous, doesn't it? A teenager. But fortunately, that's not the end of the story. On Monday, Baez, who's now 29 years old, he graduated with a nursing degree from the same institution where he started working as a janitor. Here's the other thing, and a very interesting thing in light of the political atmosphere that we are experiencing in regard to immigrants. He said, I could barely speak English at the time when I started working at NYU. He moved to New York from the Dominican Republic with his mom. He was only 15 years old. Got his first job in housekeeping at the hospital. He wanted a job to help support his family. See, I respect the heck out of people like this. Especially, I mean, teenagers looking to help support his family. While working there, he started becoming intrigued with the medical field. Applied for, got a job as a patient transporter, taking patients to and from their rooms for surgeries and tests. Eventually, he left that job to finish the bachelor's degree that he started at nearby Hunter College. The first person in his family to graduate from college. But you know what? That wasn't enough. He wanted to get back to where he started. At NYU. While working at NYU with the nurses, I realized I wanted to be one of them. I learned how much they advocate for their patients and the passion they have for the job. Baez was encouraged by the nurses he worked with to apply to the College of Nursing. He started an accelerated program that allowed him to graduate with a nursing degree in just 15 months. The director of simulation learning at the College of Nursing said our program is extremely rigorous. Frank didn't just kind of make the program, barely getting through. He flew through it with flying colors. The way he interacted with patients, it showed a lot of compassion. In my mind, he's a star, and he's going to be a fantastic nurse. Baez graduated with a 3.6 GPA. Let me repeat that again. Graduate with a 3.6 GPA. How did he start? An immigrant who barely understood English. Now he's got another goal. See, this is the other thing that's wonderful in America. Isn't it great that you can reinvent yourself? You don't have to just end with one goal here. I mean, it's great what he's accomplished so far. Now he wants to become a critical care nurse in an intensive care unit. Since I was never an A student, I just studied a lot and worked a lot. There were times I doubted myself, but then I felt that I wanted to do something more for myself, that I deserved better. I wanted to continue to move forward and grow and go on with my life. What I did was, I never gave up. That's cool, isn't it? I never gave up. And I think this is an important thing for all of us to remember, wherever we are, what stage of life, we don't give up. Lots of takeaways from this, wouldn't you say? That's our beginning story of inspiration, and I hope it has that effect for you. And perhaps there's one person this will resonate with more than anybody else. If so, I'd love to hear from you. To the news of the day, we have learned that apparently Nancy Pelosi is going to have a news conference this morning to respond to the little dust-up that happened yesterday. Did you see all of that? There was supposed to be a big meeting yesterday to talk about infrastructure. Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer at the White House. Well, the president had a little surprise for them, telling reporters moments after this meeting he would not negotiate on legislation with Democrats while he was still under investigation by several committees. They think this is a response to comments by Pelosi herself earlier in the day. We told you about this yesterday. We believe the President of the United States is engaged in a cover-up by blocking White House aides from giving testimony responding to document requests from ongoing congressional investigations. President Trump then called an impromptu news conference, told reporters, "I don't do cover-ups." According to a White House official who spoke anonymously to CNBC, the meeting in the cabinet room lasted about 7 minutes. Trump said to the visiting Democrats he wanted to do infrastructure, but you're focused on investigating. When you're done, we can talk. Meeting over. Trump said this, and then he left. I think this is kind of funny. So can you imagine how unhinged the little woman who will ride in to the news conference on her broom is going to be today? Yes, I said that. But I guarantee you, this is not going to be the end. This is going to be one of those silly tit-for-tat things. And if Ms. Pelosi starts her news conference during this broadcast, we will endeavor to carry it live and hope that we don't burn any radio waves in the process. George posted this on social media. Trump said, "I don't do cover-ups." George says, "Doesn't he know we can see his hair?" Stay with us. Events.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in baseball isn't boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Back on the Vince Coakley radio program, as we told you, we're going to be listening in to see if Nancy Pelosi has a news conference this morning. We believe she's going to do so soon. Soon. So brace yourselves for that. You know, one of the wonderful things about radio, we can allow you to listen to her without having to look at her. I know that's terrible, isn't it? Hey, I'm just speaking the truth. As you know, Vice President Pence was in Charlotte yesterday. Did I understand correctly he was right down the street from here? Did he actually do that? Yes, the Foundry, is that where he was? Yes, and yeah, I noticed there was a strong police presence as I was leaving, and I thought, boy, I'm getting out of here just in time before all of the traffic troubles. They were positioned in a number of places. Early preparations, among other things, for 2020 and the Republican convention that takes place here next year. On social media, Kim posted this. When the vice president's motorcade drives through your small town on a Wednesday afternoon and an obvious fan posts their video of the event to the local Facebook page, only to have the comment thread blow up with obscenities and hate language being thrown neighbor to neighbor from both sides of the partisan aisle. We are destroying ourselves, y'all. Yes, we are, Kim. Quite unfortunate. Not really necessary. Just putting that out there. In the category of brilliance, AOC, you know, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. You may remember it was some weeks ago she made the comment that the world was going to end in 12 years unless climate change was tackled. What's really funny is now she's put herself in a position of insulting her own supporters. What do you mean by that, Mr. Coakley? Well, here's how this happened. So she's made this claim, the world's going to end in 12 years unless we do something about climate change. Would you believe two-thirds of Democrats believe this nonsense? Two-thirds. Now, she's been trying to spin these comments of hers about the world coming to an end. Now she's saying herself, these are her words, not ours. Only those with the social intelligence of a sea sponge could actually believe this. Isn't that great? By the way, let's hear what she actually has had to say about this subject of climate change and the risk that it poses to all of us.
So I think what we have laid out here is a very clear moral problem. And in terms of leadership, if we fail to act, or even if we delay in acting, we will have blood on our hands.
Oh my goodness. Blood on our hands. And these are the people, by the way, who have no conscience about 50 million plus babies aborted. Literal blood already on our hands. And we're talking about some mystical, magical fantasy of something that could happen allegedly as early as 12 years from now. Millennials and people, you know, Gen Z and all these folks that will come after us are looking up and we're like, the world's going to end in 12 years if we don't address climate change. And your biggest issue is how we're going to pay for it? This is after she made that silly remark about 12 years. Earlier this month, as you know, she backtracked on that gloomy forecast, instead blamed the Republican Party for taking her humor and sarcasm literally. This is a technique of the GOP to take dry humor plus sarcasm, literally, and fact check it. That's what she said, really. Like the world ending in 12 years. You'd have to have the social intelligence of a sea sponge to think it's literal. But the GOP is basically Dwight from The Office. So who knows? I've seen criticism of the, like, 12 people. 10 people. The 10 richest Americans are worth $730 billion. The 14 richest American families, excluding the Koch brothers, so no double counting, are worth $511 billion. together, they're worth more than 60% of Americans combined. And of course, you know, that's the end of the world. But those comments about having the intelligence of a sea sponge, more than two-thirds of surveyed Democrats take this woman literally. A Rasmussen poll conducted earlier this week found 67% of Democrats believing the U.S. has only 12 years to avert the disastrous and irreparable damage to the country and the world stemming from climate change. Out of all total likely voters, 48% of respondents believe this claim. That's pretty scary, isn't it? You should see the expression on Charles's face right now. It's like, what? Yes. As you know, she's the one who proposed the Green New Deal resolution, seeking to radically reorganize the economy to ensure climate change is tackled. In fact, this proposal is endorsed by a number of 2020 presidential candidates, even before the disastrous rollout of the proposal, which included the now famous FAQ document, suggested making air travel obsolete and supporting those unwilling to work. Senate Democrats in March failed to reach the 60 votes necessary to begin debate on the Green New Deal proposal. 42 Democrats and Senator Bernie Sanders voted present on that legislation. Nobody is dumb enough to have their name associated with that, which is why they voted present. This is really sad, isn't it? How many people actually believe this claptrap? But they're out there. They are definitely out there in more ways than one. Still to come on the broadcast this morning, how do you think the Democrats are characterizing this effort throughout the country to protect human lives, as in young human lives? How is this going to be characterized by Democrats? Well, they're going to bring back the same old playbook. It's the war on women. In fact, one of the presidential candidates on the Democrat side, some strong words. We will tell you what they are. Also, we cover everything equally and fairly on this broadcast. A friend of mine posted something that I think is cause for concern about the president and his position on abortion. We're going to share that social media post, which is likely to raise some eyebrows, and a disturbing incident involving a laser light and an aircraft. That story as we continue. Back of the Vince Coakley radio program. Let's go out to Steve in Charlotte. Good morning. Hello, hey. Steve. Are you there?
Hey, how you doing?
All right, sir.
Take my call. Yeah, it's interesting. Every election cycle, they roll out how the poor, the rich people have all the money and they're evil and all that. Never seem to mention that about, I believe, 8 of the 10 richest people in America are Democrats.
What a coincidence.
And they never go after the taxes. They talk about paying their fair share. Well, how come they don't lobby their Democrats to change the tax law so the rich pay more? They just complain about it.
Yep, pretty much. It is, it's standard fare, unfortunately. Steve, appreciate your call. These folks just do not change at all, do they? Kenny, good morning.
Good morning, Ben. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
I had a couple of points. First, on AOC, talking about the world coming to an end, she must be a Christian. And the second thing is, I want to talk about boycotts in China. And I think we ought to start boycotting all the goods until they stop aborting all the babies, and that way we show the world that we're not hypocrites.
Oh, wow. That's pretty strong. When do you expect that to happen, Kenny?
Well, I'm going to start doing it now. I don't want the world to think I'm a hypocrite, so I'm going to quit buying all their products since they support abortion.
Okay. All right. Wow. I don't know what to say, but that's your choice. Absolutely your choice. On this subject, Kirsten Gillibrand saying if Trump wants a war with America's women, he's going to lose. That's a threat. I'm sure that's really scary. The New York Senator presidential candidate joined several of her Democratic primary opponents and abortion rights advocates at a rally outside the Supreme Court this week. They're concerned about multiple states passing restrictive abortion legislation. On Wednesday, she released a plan that promotes investments in maternal and child health, paid family leave, and education. And again, you got to ask the question, who in the world is going to pay for all this? Who's going to pay for it? I think President Trump and these very extreme Republican legislators around the country, they're taking this country in a direction it does not want to go. I believe if President Trump wants a war with America's women, it's a war he will have, and it's one he will lose. Well, I'm sure he's shaking in his boots. The war on women. Boy, did she just think that up herself? I am so tired of hearing this. And I don't hesitate to say the truth of the matter is there's been a declared war on men for decades. Decades. It's a war on men, on manhood, on masculinity. This is what the left has been waging for decades. And now we've got several generations of emasculated men. And at the same time, we have women complaining. Where are the men? Well, duh. You aborted and emasculated so many of them. That's where the men went. And it's really not safe to be a man in the current culture in which we live. Now, you can be a beta male, but that's not a man. Total opposite of manhood there. I've told you before just how annoyed I get watching these men fall all over themselves, defending so-called women's rights to control their own bodies. It really is sad. I also do have this post I'm going to share with you. A friend of mine posted on social media. This one's about the president. It should be interesting how this one goes over. First, we'll take your call from Steve in Indian Trail. Good morning.
Hey, Vince. Thanks for taking my call. I just heard that somebody, city council or somebody in Charlotte, is all hepped up about gun control. Well, gun control is not the issue, because if you can't control guns, if you take away the guns from the citizens, only the bad people are going to get it. And the proof of that is look what's happened with the war on drugs.
Boy, that's worked well, hasn't it?
Yeah, the government's been real successful with that. So that's a comment that I want people to think about. It's just that there's other issues other than taking away guns if you want to control guns, but don't make it by taking away guns.
Yep, you're absolutely right there, Steve. Appreciate your call. Let's go out to Corey in Charlotte as well. Good morning.
Hey, Mr. V, thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. I wanted to say off of the taxes when it comes to women having abortions and you want to know who's paying for the abortions, the American tax dollar. Do we ever stop to think that most of these women are going to have an abortions are paying for it themselves? So, i.e. you and me, our tax dollars have nothing to do with their abortion. Same as those who receive EBT.
In many cases, that is the case. They are paying for themselves, but I think a lot of what people are concerned about, the ongoing funding, government funding for groups like Planned Parenthood, that's something that taxpayers are paying for.
Okay, that I understand. It's just similar to EBT.
Yes.
I'm on my way to work, I make $12 an hour. I pay my taxes, but I also have an EBT card. So for those who think they're paying for my food stamps, you're not. That's just my mental thinking, and I hope a lot of people understand that. There are people that are going to work and paying for these services. Now, there are some who are not, and I agree with you and some others. We need to get those in shape. But to those who are going to work and working hard, we need to start trying to uplift those people.
And I would assume, in what you're describing here, ultimately your goal is to reach a point where you no longer need that, right?
And that is the point. They teach
absolutely.
That. They preach that. They preach that every single time you go to these government assistants.
Yep.
Some people are not getting the message, but there are a lot of us out here that are.
I certainly get it. Corey, thank you for working hard, and we hope to look forward to that time, maybe sooner than we all think, when you will be able to say, hey, I'm done with this, and hey, this is the new job I have that's paying so much better. We hope you have great success there.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Have a great day. Isn't it amazing? You know, I love this. One of the things I like is the panoramic picture that at least I'm finding from listeners to this program. You know, it's not just a single group of people. People coming from all walks of life, different financial places in life. And that is certainly a good thing, don't you think? Also on the text line, someone saying Charlotte needs thug control, not gun control. All righty. Someone else talking about this war on women. Good Lord, Vince. Ugh. Yeah. Also, the war on women saying, yeah, Trump's going to lose like he lost the war against Hillary and women in 2016. Maybe a repeat. Stay with us. Back in the Vince Coakley radio program, let's go out to a call from Jonathan in Traveler's Rest.
Hello?
Hello, Jonathan. Are you there?
Yes, I am. Yes, thank you. I'm sorry I couldn't hear you for a second. Yes, I just wanted to respond to that last caller. I work with Chick-fil-A in Traveler's Rest. We're always looking for good people that want to work hard, and we have several positions right now. If people like him or Corey in particular wants to come out and speak with us, we're glad to talk to him. We pay well. We treat people well. We work people hard, but we also treat them well and pay them accordingly. And people like Corey, those are the people we want, people that want to work hard and better themselves and work in a positive environment. And we'll be glad to talk to him and anybody else that wants to come out there.
Okay, that's fair.
And I also wanted to say thank you for what you do. You do provide a service for our community. I know it's your job, but it's also a service for us for the political analysis that you do. And I just want to say thank you for doing your job.
Hey, well, thank you very much, and thanks for what you do. I need to stop into Traveler's Rest sometime and visit that community. It's heard a lot about it. In fact, I had a friend who used to live there at one time. Let us go out to Calpins and our good friend Gerald. Good morning.
Good morning, sir. Your last caller stole just a little bit of my thunder, but that's fine. Hey, Vince, I had to bury a family pet this morning. We're not going to put up a headstone because we don't want to vote in Democrat. But anyway, the reason I called you, brother, thank you and your staff for your hard work and dedication. We appreciate everything you do, brother, for keeping us well informed.
Hey, well, thank you, Gerald. I appreciate that. And I always appreciate your pithy comments. You keep us laughing here, so keep it up. And our hearts go out to you in this time of mourning for you.
See you, brother.
Yeah. Thank you very much, sir. I cannot imagine what that's like. I'm on one of these, I'm on several of these networks on social media, on Facebook. Most of them are Husky groups. And the ones that really get me are the people you know, posting about their dogs dying. Most of the time, car accidents. Or they ran away, got hit by a car. Huskies are notorious for running away. I just saw one the other day. Woman posted her dog had run away and gotten hit by a car and had to put the dog down. Just, man, really touches your heart for sure. Totally random comment. As you know, I've mentioned on this program a couple of weeks ago, my parents were involved in a car accident, and for those who did not know, they're okay. And I had to tell something humorous, though, about dealing with the insurance company. So I placed the call to the insurance company to begin the claim process. As I mentioned, this was a couple of weeks ago. So I called State Farm. Do you want to take a wild guess as to what the guy's name was?
Vince Coakley?
No. Come on, Charles. I can't believe you guys. Lonzo, you can get on this as well. See if Lonzo can figure this out. Do you want to take a wild guess as to what the guy's name was?
Jake.
Yes. You're exactly right. The guy's name was Jake. Jake from State Farm.
Was he wearing khakis?
It just cracked me up. I thought of all the things that could happen, placing that call. I just thought you'd find that amusing. Just had to put that out there. Let's go out to a call from Michelle in Cornelius. Good morning, Michelle.
Hi, good morning, Vince. How are you?
Doing well.
Good. Hey, a couple of months ago, I heard you crack up on the air as you listened to Ed Wiley, the Christian impersonator, do an impersonation of Joel Osteen.
Oh, yes, I remember that guy.
Yeah, well, he's going to be in Huntersville next Saturday doing a benefit for a missions foundation called Above and Beyond and Caterpillar Ministries. It's a ministry in Huntersville, and it's going to be held at Lake Forest Church in Huntersville, and tickets are only $20, and they can come hear Ed Wiley as well as Andrew Stanley, who's gone... Andy Stanley's son, who's gone into comedy.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's kind of interesting.
Yeah. So $20 comes with childcare. Great night of laughter. And couldn't we all use a little more laughter in this world?
Yeah, isn't that the truth? Yes, yeah. I have this up, as a matter of fact. The event taking place, can you believe we're already at June? Saturday, yeah, June 1st, 7 to 9 p.m. up at Lake Forest Church in Huntersville. So, yes, if you are interested in more of that humor, there is a great opportunity to take part. So,
laugh on purpose.
Exactly. Well, thank you very much for that call, Michelle.
Thank you for taking the call.
I may be interested in checking that out on a Saturday evening. On the text line, some other interesting items here. My goodness, these posts are all over the place today. People talking about all kinds of things. Let's see this text. No sane man is going to put up with these selfish, God-hating, crybaby women the liberalists have created. Wow. Tell us what you really think. Affirmation versus information. It's amazing how polarizing some of these topics are in America. Just as strongly as I feel about gun rights. There's someone who feels the same about gun control. Yes, you are right about that. Also, on the text line, a lot of discussion here about EBT cards. Not so much wanting to get into all of that today. Vince, did you know that 100% of people who are pro-choice owe their existence to a woman that was pro-life? Ooh, that's really good. I like that one. The war on women because of the feminist movement. Women have their babies sucked down a sink. Their primary value is their professional success. And marriage is, it's arbitrary. However, multiple partners with no commitments are encouraged. And we wonder why the suicide rate is growing. Yeah, big mystery, isn't it? Our number...
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.